I want to speak a little bit differently than I normally do this morning. I'm going to do an expository. So if you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to take and go to Acts chapter 3, we're going to go through the first 10 verses, and we're just going to spend our time in those. So keep your Bibles open if you will. I encourage you to always bring your Bibles. I know they're having some difficulties with the screen this morning, so sometimes we just need that old hard copy of the Word of the Living God. I want to speak to us, if I may, this morning for a few moments on expecting to receive. Did anybody come expecting this morning? I see one hand. Hallelujah. I see two hands. I see three hands. I'll take four, five, six. We'll just keep going until we all come expecting this morning. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." This morning, I'm going to speak to the church, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak this morning for those who are hurting. I want to speak this morning for those who are bruised, for battered. Life has left them in bad shape. I want to speak for the ones that are disheartened this morning and hopeless. I want to speak to those this morning that are oppressed and disenfranchised by life. I want to speak for those, but I want to speak to the church this morning. The church, as we've already said, is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And as such, this morning, we are uniquely equipped this morning. We are uniquely equipped. I am uniquely equipped. You are uniquely equipped this morning as the body of Jesus Christ, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, to meet the needs of our world. Oftentimes we say, well, you know, you just don't have the right credentials. You need this kind of credential to help or that kind of credential. According to God's word, you have the credentials. May not come in the form of a degree. You may not have a psychology degree or any other kind of degree. But you have within you, because of the Spirit of God, what this world needs. You have what the world needs. Now, as I said, we're going to do expository this morning. So as you look at your word this morning, in verses 1 and 2, it says in verse number 1 that Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. In verse number 2, it says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple." That word is hiar. Hiar. Hieron, And that word means a sacred place. So the temple was a sacred place. So they were going to the sacred place. And for the lame man, this sacred place that they laid him in front of every day was the place of help. It was a place of daily provision. It was a place of really survival for him. That it was there that he could get enough to keep going, to keep eating, to keep his body going. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says to us, "What? Know ye not that you are your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own." So your body this morning, as we've said already, it's a temple. You are that temple, that sacred place. Now the word temple in 1 Corinthians 6:19 is the word nahos. It's a little different than the other, but if you combine the two, nahos means to dwell. The temple is to dwell. So you combine the two, we are a dwelling place of the sacred. Know ye not that your body is the dwelling place of the sacred? It is the dwelling place of the sacred. And as the dwelling place of the sacred, we have whatever our world needs. That didn't get a very good resounding amen, but that's the truth. We have the power of God within us. The lame man was carried to the gate of the temple, it said daily. He was carried to the sacred place. He was carried to that place where God dwelt. And the world is passing by us every single day. The temple. We are the temple. Every day the world passes by us and they are bringing their baggage, they're bringing their hurts, they're bringing their pain. And they pass by us on a daily basis. And we are the temple. It says in verse number 2 as well there that they laid him at the gate of the temple to ask alms. This guy was a beggar. He was asking for help. He was asking for provision. He was asking for some kind of hope. If I get some coins, maybe I can make it through another day. We're told nothing about his life. Maybe he had a family to feed. We don't know. We do know that it was a place where he was looking for help. And again, every day, the world passes by us. Every day, the broken pass by. Every day, the hurting pass by us. Verse 3 goes on. He was laid there to ask alms, and it says, who seeing? Who did he see? He saw Peter and John. Who seeing? The word is eido. It means to see by implication. It means to know, to perceive, and to understand. So when he saw them coming, it was more than just, well, I see two bodies coming this way. He was perceiving something about them. He had knowledge of something about them. He could look at them and see something different. And could it be that he was seeing what the Sanhedrin saw in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 when it says in that verse, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men and marveled, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I submit to you that this lame man took knowledge of them. He perceived that these men had been with Jesus. They had been fresh from Pentecost, where the giver, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, had baptized them with the Holy Ghost. And they were there walking to him, and he could perceive that these men were with Jesus. They were coming in that same spirit of Jesus. Verse 4, the beggar sees them. He perceives something about them. And in verse number 4, Peter and John say, look on us. Look on us. That's a bold statement this morning. It's a bold statement. Look on us. Because most of the modern church today has replaced look on us with, well, okay, you'll be better. Yeah, you'll be okay. We'll pray for you later. We'll keep you in our prayers. But Peter and John arrested the moment when they said, look at us. Look at us. They were fresh from Pentecost. And they knew that they had a power within them that was greater than anything that this world had. They had a power within them that could meet any need that anyone would ever have. They knew that at that moment. And they could boldly say, look at us. Look at us. Can I say to us this morning, and if you don't get anything else out of this morning, as the church of Jesus Christ, the temple of the living God, we've got to awaken to the fact that the Spirit of the living God lives within us. The Spirit of God, all powerful, all holy, all righteous, God lives inside of us. You are the temple of God's Spirit. You are his holy temple, and he lives in you this morning. If we could only grasp it this morning, there's enough power in this room this morning to blow the lid right off of it. The Bible tells us in Acts that 12 men turned the world upside down. We've got the power of God living within us. And that follows what Jesus said when he told his disciples to go to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's a power within us. There's a power to witness the great things of God. And we do that by letting that power out. By letting that power be used. We've got more potential here to change the world than the world will ever come up with. We have the power of God within us. It says in verse number 5, the lame man looked on them, expecting to receive something. He expected to receive something. Every day they took him to the temple, and he was hoping to receive something. A beggar hopes to receive something for all of his troubles of being out there. But it says here that he was expecting to receive something. That word expecting means to anticipate, to look for something. He was anticipating something to come from these men that he had just perceived something different about. He knew this wasn't the average run-of-the-mill guy that walked past him. These were men that were different. And he expected to receive something. Now you know as well as I do, as a beggar who was laid there daily, he undoubtedly had gone home with expectations shattered before. There were probably many times that a self-righteous, pompous Pharisee or priest had walked straight past him and not given him any help because there was no crowd around to see their benevolent work. He'd undoubtedly been left in the dust. How many times did he ask and get turned down? But how many times have we been the Christian that somebody expected something from? They were reaching out with an expectation. Did they go away with a powerless prayer? Or a, well, we'll pray for you later? Or did they go away with a life-changing miracle? Church, again, we've got to awaken to the potential within us. We've got to come back to the first century church. We've got to come back where there was an expectation. You heard me preach before. Jesus said these signs would follow us who believe. These signs shall follow us who believe. If you will remember, and I'm just bringing this up out of old, but if you'll remember when I said that, you probably don't. Nobody remembers the preachers preaching after a little while, but they don't even remember it. But when it says these signs shall follow them that believe, that word shall there literally means we exist. We exist to show forth the power of God. We exist to heal the sick. We exist to lay hands on the devil and cast him out. We exist to pick up deadly things and they not hurt us. We exist to go forth and do the works of God. We exist to do that. Why? Because there's a power in us that's greater than what the world has. There's a power within us that is just waiting to be tapped by a world that needs us, by people that need us. By needs that need us. We need to begin to believe once again that when we pray, things are going to happen. When the early church prayed, the house was shaken. It was shaken. Some of the prayers for Azusa Street, they would meet in houses, and many times officers would be called to that house or the fire department because there was a flame just over top of that house. When's the last time we saw that? When's the last time the glory of God has come in such a way that the preacher had to shut his mouth? We just sat in awe. See, that power is within us. It is within you. It is within me this morning to touch a world that needs help. Verse 6. Let me back up. When we pray, when people are hurting, let me put it that way. When people are hurting and there's brokenness around us, there's people that are expecting from us. Do we leave them with that miracle? Or do we leave them with the nice churchy things that we do? Do we go through the church motions? See, I'm part of the church this morning, so I'm preaching to myself. But, you know, as a church, we've become proficient. real proficient in calling down prosperity and blessings for ourselves. I hear preachers preaching and they're talking about, just say to God, money cometh, money cometh. The world's answer is not money. If it was, we wouldn't have any problems. All they got to do is go print more. There's no problem if we go by the world monetary thing, if that's going to do it. But it doesn't do it. It never has done it. There's the power of God that needs to be present. We need something to be able to offer to the broken. To the broken. Peter and John had nothing of this world to offer. Silver and gold I don't have. I'm assuming that means that they didn't have 2 bronze coins to even give them. But they said, such as we have, we give you. They possessed a power greater than themselves. And they knew they possessed that power. Note with me, this beggar's healing began not when he leaped up and stood and went walking and leaping and praising God. It didn't happen then. We're looking for the miracle to happen when all the things are. Say, miracle, hallelujah. Their miracle happened when Peter and John realized that, I don't know when it happened, if that happened at Pentecost or when it happened, but when they realized that there was a power within them that could change people around them. There was a power in them that could change the needs of people. There was a power in them that could turn situations completely around. When they realized that, there wasn't any problem that they couldn't handle. Church, when we realize what we have, when we realize what we have, it won't be church as usual. Won't be a few songs and a hymn given in our offering and hallelujah, glory to God. Let's go home. I think Pastor always says get a ham sandwich, doesn't he? They possessed a power greater than themselves, and they realized that at that moment when they realized that, they knew that they had something to give. They had something to give. Peter says it this way, such as I have, I give thee. That word such there is interesting to me. King James uses it, such as I have. The word is has, it's a pronoun. And it means that, what, or who. Who? The who was the Holy Spirit within them. The who that they had to give was God Himself through the Holy Spirit that resided within them. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have. The Holy Ghost that I have within me, I can give you. Now, I'm sure had they said that, the beggar would have thought, oh, man, just another preacher. I need some coins. But what they gave to him was life-altering, life-changing. They gave him a miracle that he hadn't even come expecting that day, I'm sure. He was expecting coins, but he received a miracle. Then they realized that they had the power. They realized that that power was resident within them. And they coupled that power with what Jesus had taught them in John 14:14, when he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he says, such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is a power in the name of Jesus that you and I possess as well this morning. We are just a church, let's face it, of power this morning. We are a church of people of God that have power within us. It is resident within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is resident within us through authority of Jesus' name. And if we ask anything in his name, the Bible says he will do it. I'm preaching a little faith this morning, beloved. We've got to get back to the place where we believe that if we pray it in Jesus' name and we have faith to believe and we doubt not that it's done. It's not that maybe it might be done. I hope it's going to get done, but it's done in Jesus' name. Jesus said it. This old preacher didn't say it. Jesus said it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So either we're not asking right, we're asking in faith wavering, we're not asking in the right name, or we're not connected to him. Because if we are and we pray it in faith believing, God's word can't lie. And Jesus said, I will do it. He's going to do it. Now, don't get me wrong. He's got a different time schedule than ours sometimes. Wisdom tells us that. But it doesn't change the fact that he says, I'll do it. I will do it. He says there, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. That word means to awaken from your slumber. Awaken from your disease. Awaken from your death. Awaken from your ruin. Awaken from your obscurity. Awaken from the pain. Awaken. Kind of come out of you that you feel. Awaken to it. And if what we know here is Peter's faith, when it was coupled with the beggar's expectation, even though, as I've already said, I don't think he expected to get what he received. But he had an expectation. Peter's faith and his expectation resulted in a miracle. That's key this morning. If we can get some expectation going, and if we can have the faith to believe, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? He tells him to rise up and walk. That word walk means to tread all around. To tread all around. And I like it. It goes a little further in its explanation. It says to walk at large, especially as proof of ability. Peter says, rise up and walk. Prove that you're healed. Prove to all these people out there the power of God has worked. Proof of ability. I can walk. I can do it in Jesus' name. In verse 7, we're coming to the end and everybody says hallelujah. Verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. Peter, through the power of God within him, had given this beggar his miracle. It was through the power of God in him. Peter was the vessel, just as you and I are the vessel. It's the power of God that does it. You're the vessel. But Peter took that beggar by the right hand, and he lifted this man up to meet his miracle. He lifted this man up to bypass even his faith And his expectation, it went a lot higher than what he was expecting. But he met his miracle. We've got to lift people up to meet their miracle. You know, a power cord can power a lot of things. But it's useless if you don't plug it in. It's useless if it doesn't get used. And I fear for the Church of Jesus Christ this morning, because we've got all the power within us. But I think sometimes we're afraid to plug it in. We let our fear of our own inabilities and our own weaknesses keep us from tapping the power of God. The Holy Spirit is in you this morning. He is in you. His power is within you this morning. You know, there's a lot of mornings I get up and I don't feel like the power of God is anywhere near me. My body hurts. I'm tired. But that doesn't change the fact that he's living in here. It doesn't change the fact that there is a power greater than myself, greater than anything this world can offer, that lives inside of me, lives inside of you this morning. Because you have his power in you, you have supernatural power in you. Too much of the church has been taught over the years that all the power, if it even remains, if any of the miracles even remain, that they're reserved for the few select out there. I don't read that in the Bible. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. I'd say every one of us in this room believed more than Judas did. We're serving the Lord. We're still walking with him. If we believe, we have supernatural power within us. And if we can awaken to that fact and go forth in that power, we can start to lift the burdens and the hurts and the pain and the suffering all around us. We can start to do that. Many in this room this morning are hurting. Many in this room this morning have a ton of our own issues. We've got spiritual, physical, mental, emotional needs. They're plaguing us. Week after week after week, we pray for them. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But I'm saying it's time for the church to awaken to the fact that there is a power source within us that's just waiting to be released. It's waiting to be released. It's waiting to flow through you in power to help the hurting and the broken. And it's here to meet you. You're here, one of those that are hurting this morning. You're here, one of those here that are going through something this morning that you need a miracle. You need God's touch. If you can come expecting this morning, there is a spirit-empowered church here that can pray in Jesus' name. And if we can do that this morning, let's just see what God will do. See, the word, and it's not specifically talking about this, but it tells us where God's at. He says, try me now herewith. And see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven for you. God's waiting for a church to say, I'm going to try this. I've got this power of God within me. He said, if I ask anything in his name, he'll do it. He said, if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. He said, if I put my hands on a demon-possessed person, they'll be set free. He said that. I'm going to try it. See, too much of the time we've been afraid to try it. We've been afraid to try it because of our inadequacies. We've been afraid to try it because, well, I don't know enough words yet. You know, I don't want to get myself in a situation where I pray and I look like a fool. Well, I'm a fool for Christ.